It's Thursday, January 28th. Welcome to Market Foolery. I'm Chris Hill. Joining me in studio today from Motley Fool Rule Breakers and Supernova, Aaron Bush and David Kretzmann. Happy Thursday, gents.
Hey, Chris.
Happy Thursday.
It is a happy Thursday because, as you pointed out right before we started taping, Aaron, it's a lot more fun to talk about stocks that are going up.
Yep. That's simple.
A welcome change.
It is a welcome change, and we're seeing that in PayPal. We're seeing that in Under Armour, and we're seeing that in the Facebook. Holy cow. Fourth quarter profit topped the $1 billion mark for the first time ever, and what do you say, Aaron? I mean, what?
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and I feel like I say this every quarter, but it's true. You just go back a few years, and the big question facing Facebook was, how in the world are they ever going to make money off of mobile? The world is increasingly going mobile. They're not making any money. And when they went public, they weren't making any money. They weren't making a dime off of mobile. Mm-hmm. And now it's, what is it? Is it three quarters of the money that they're pulling in?
Something like that. It might be even more.
80% in the last quarter.
What stood out to you in this quarter, besides obviously the headline of the amount of profit this quarter has nine zeros behind it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a monster quarter. And really, just looking over the past year, it really was a monster year. There's so much business momentum going on for these guys right now. Revenue is up 44%. And considering this is a $300 billion company, that's very fast growth for a large company. So I think that really says a lot. And then, I mean, earnings growth was tremendous, too. And it kind of over the just looking at this quarter over the past year, that it about doubled, a little more than doubled. So we're seeing a lot of scale advantage kick into gear. So as you mentioned, this was the first quarter that they produced $1 billion in net income. But it might be the first, it might be the second quarter that they also had 1 billion daily active users, which is, I mean, that's an incredible number. That's a huge percentage of the world. And when you throw in Instagram and WhatsApp into that, you're really looking at them connecting 40% of the world's population on any given day. And that number is only ticking higher. And then when you throw in the really efficient, precise advertising into that equation, so unprecedented scale, unprecedented demographics, you really start to see unprecedented advertising efforts. And that's really why Facebook is just raking in the dough right now.
And I think part of the enthusiasm with this stock is not just the billion-dollar profit, but the recognition, David, that they haven't really tapped video as a revenue source, and they certainly haven't in any meaningful way tapped virtual reality.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. I forget the exact number, but Facebook's making a lot of progress with its video platform. And just as a user, I've noticed that, man, it's a lot easier to watch videos on Facebook than it was 6 months ago. You know, they're definitely making progress there. And the hours of videos that are watched on Facebook is definitely ticking higher. The company's making a lot of progress there. I thought it was interesting. Sheryl Sandberg, she mentioned that 98 of the top 100 advertisers on Facebook are also advertising on Instagram, which recently rolled out advertising within the past year. So early advertising efforts on Instagram are also grabbing hold. And yeah, as you mentioned, Chris, the pre-orders for the Oculus headset are coming in this month. And Mark Zuckerberg, he mentioned that there are over 100 virtual reality games and experiences that are also coming to Oculus this year. So that's not a huge number, but hopefully it's enough to sort of appease those early adopters of the Oculus headset, and hopefully you'll see more developers come up with content for this virtual reality platform going forward, because there's certainly a lot of potential for Oculus. I don't think we'll see it meaningfully, you know, contribute to these staggering numbers that Facebook is reporting anytime soon. But when you look out 3 to 5 years, it's definitely going to be, I think, a key category for the company.
Is there an Achilles heel to this company? Because when they made the acquisition of WhatsApp to the tune of $19 billion, mm-hmm. there were legitimate questions about that, because there wasn't a plan in place to monetize that. And it's $19 billion. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a huge check that they're writing. I feel like that's no longer a concern, not just because of the way they've been able to increase their mobile revenue increase their profits, but also because, as you mentioned, Aaron, when you look at what they're doing with Instagram, which they only paid $1 billion for,
right?
It's almost—I mean, at this point, it's almost like who cares what they do with WhatsApp? I mean, even if it doesn't turn into some sort of profit machine in the way that Instagram has, they've already got—you know—they're already on their third hit.
Yeah, I mean, the business definitely is not reliant on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. I think they have about $19 billion in cash right now, anyways, which is what they paid for WhatsApp. So a lot of money sitting in the bank. WhatsApp also just dropped their $1 a year subscription fee, which I think says a lot. We're also seeing this in Facebook Messenger, but messaging apps are starting to become tools for broader services. And as more and more services start utilizing, you know, payments through Messenger, or just figuring out how to work with them, I think we could see both Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp find new business models in the years ahead.
Yeah, when you back out acquisitions, free cash flow for Facebook grew 67% last year to over more than $6 billion in 2015. So this company is just churning out a lot of cash, and that number is ticking up really quickly.
Under Armour's fourth quarter profit was just slightly higher than expected, but the guidance that Under Armour put out for 2016 was big. And that's the word to describe the stock movement, up 18% today.
Not too bad. And this is a stock that's come down, you know, a decent amount over the past few months with the broader downturn. It's a stock that I don't think has ever looked cheap, you know, in the 10 years or so that's been, you know, publicly traded. But Kevin Plank, founder and CEO of Under Armour, he continues to deliver. He's just a voracious competitor, and this is a wonderful business, and it continues to grow. So for this quarter, sales up 31% to $1.2 billion. The apparel segment brought in its 25th consecutive quarter of more than 20% sales growth, and that's the company's biggest segment. Sales were up 22% for there. Stephen Curry, the Curry signature basketball line shoe, is really helping footwear sales. Those are up 95%. Still a smaller portion of revenue. It's just $167 million out of that $1.2 billion in sales. But then the company is also making progress internationally, where sales grew 70%. So this is a company, all these different segments are really seeing a lot of progress. And for me, coming back from CES a few weeks ago, the company, that's where they unveiled a lot of their connected fitness products, where they're essentially integrating tech into their sneakers, their shirts, and connecting that to their connected fitness apps. And that's the company's really doing their first steps to monetize that platform. And so far this year, they've added 130,000 new users each day to those connected fitness apps that they have. So companies make a lot of progress there. We're still seeing the early stages of them monetizing connected fitness. But man, Kevin Plank, he's just someone, he's so determined, and the company just continues to deliver some outstanding results.
How are they doing on the expense side? I'm just mindful of the fact that we're a few months away, well, maybe not a few months away, we're, what, 6 months away from the Summer Olympics. And we saw this a couple of years ago with the Men's World Cup in soccer, where part of the narrative with Under Armour, certainly to a greater degree with Nike, they basically came out and said, hey, yeah, we're going to be spending more money on marketing because it's a big global stage. I'm just curious if there was any color on that from the company.
I didn't notice anything specifically to that. Something that the main thing that concerns me with Under Armour, financially speaking, their cash flow production is still pretty lumpy. So it's actually down year over year in the fourth quarter, and it was negative as a whole in 2015. So the company is burning through cash right now. They spent $710 million to acquire those three connected fitness companies that make up kind of that connected fitness ecosystem that they're building. They have $670 million in debt, $130 million in cash. So this is a company, they're not cash flow positive. At least for last year, they weren't cash flow positive. They have a lot more debt than they've never had this much debt in their history. So I think that's the main potential red flag for me to watch. So we'll see. But they're making a huge bet on connected fitness. But I can start to see where Kevin Plank is going with this kind of building this ecosystem where it's more than just an apparel company, but integrating apparel and tech. And so far, there's a lot of promise for that kind of ecosystem, I think.
One of the big spinoffs of 2015 was eBay spinning off PayPal. Both companies reporting today, and very different results, Aaron. PayPal's fourth quarter profits slightly higher than expected. Revenue was up as well. The stock was trading around a 52-week low. I mean, it hasn't even been public for 52 weeks, but it was trading near its low, but it's up about 7% today. We can get to eBay's fourth quarter results in a second. But what did you think of the numbers that PayPal put up?
I think they're getting the job done. PayPal's story is really about owning as much of the digital payment space as they really can, and that's really what they're doing. So this was a quarter of pretty steady market share gains. Revenue is up 15%. Earnings growth was a little bit higher. The operating margin was also ticked a little bit higher too as they gained some scale. They're generating plenty of cash flow. Management announced a new $2 billion share repurchase plan, which is always good to see. But yeah, as I mentioned, so it's really about controlling as much of the digital payments arena as they can. And to kind of get a grasp on that, you have to look at all of their different brands. So PayPal itself continues to expand its merchant network. It's striking new deals recently with Alibaba, for example, processing significantly more payment transactions and, just as importantly, more transactions per active account. So people are using PayPal more than they have any time in the past. Braintree, which is kind of their white label behind-the-scenes payment processor for companies like Uber, Airbnb, so a lot of big names, is growing very quickly. And they're making new partnerships, such as powering purchases through Facebook Messenger that was announced this past quarter as well. So seeing some progress with them. Venmo, which is their...
What is Venmo?
It's their peer-to-peer payment platform. So we would just like have an app and I could send money your way really simply.
That's great. Do you want to do that after the show?
Maybe the other way around. But yeah, so their total payment volume grew 174%, which is massive. And then lastly, Xoom, which was just recently acquired. It provides international money transfer services, is doing really well too. So that's a lot going on, a lot of different brands, but all of them are pretty much on fire right now and all are working towards kind of the singular purpose of owning this digital landscape. And so the runway here is massive, and PayPal just continues to take ground.
Would you expect them to grow faster than 15%? I don't know. When I think of PayPal, I would expect them to grow a little faster. It's sort of a random question.
Well, so that it's a great question, and it ties into what was going to be my next question, which was the other news out of PayPal today is they announced a $2 billion stock buyback plan, which... the only word I can think of is odd. I looked at that and I thought, well, wait a minute. What? I think of that kind of plan as something for certainly more mature public companies. They've been public less than a year. This is not a huge company. I don't know. I just sort of looked at that and thought, is that really the best use of $2 billion?
Well, PayPal is a very large business, so they're about a $40 billion business right now.
Bigger than eBay, yeah.
Yeah, and so 15% is still pretty good for that size of business. It's, if you look on constant currency terms, it's actually higher. So there's a little bit there too. But they just produce so much cash. They have about $3.5 billion in cash on the balance sheet, no debt. So they do have money to work with. And if they don't see any amazing acquisition targets and can't really just throw a lot of investment back in the business, they have to do something with it. And I guess share repurchases is what they're choosing to do right now.
Top of the list.
eBay is almost like the opposite of Under Armour in that their quarterly results, their fourth quarter results, were masked by their guidance for 2016, which was disappointing to say the least. And it's pretty striking, not just that PayPal is bigger than eBay, but when I was looking at eBay's quarter and looking at how big that company is, market cap around $27 billion. Amazon's going to report after the closing bell today. Amazon's literally 10 times the size of eBay. And I'm old enough to remember a time when eBay versus Amazon was a completely legitimate debate. Those were two businesses, young, born of the internet, that were very much seen as head-to-head competitors. In fact, there was a point when eBay had such success with its online auctions that both Amazon and Yahoo launched their own auction platform. that did not last very long at all. But that was a real debate 15 years ago. Which one of these two is going to succeed? And now it's I'm wondering if what a lot of people thought about eBay when PayPal was under the eBay umbrella, and what people wondered was, gosh, if you spin out PayPal, is eBay no longer a business worth owning? And I don't want to judge it just on one quarter, but if you just look at a snapshot of these two, we're certainly seeing that narrative today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think eBay is still a good business. I don't know too well to say whether or not someone should own it or not, especially compared to PayPal. But losing PayPal did kind of take a kicker of their growth away from them. They also now have to pay PayPal processing costs. And I know they're spending a good chunk of money right now, which is hurting their earnings, just to rebuild infrastructure that they lost when PayPal separated away. So there are some kind of shorter term things going on, but I mean, for sure, a lot of the long term worries still remain.
Yeah, I look at eBay similar to how people will look at Yahoo without Alibaba. You know, if and when Yahoo gets rid of, spins out Alibaba or does something with it, the core business of Yahoo probably isn't going to be that attractive of a business to own. eBay is still a good business, but it's not going to be, you know, a fast grower. So without PayPal, you know, there's nothing pushing those results upward.
A couple of things before we wrap up. On yesterday's episode, Bill Barker put the call out for listeners to run the numbers on the earnings call drinking games that John Legere at T-Mobile had put out for Verizon and AT&T, and it took just a few hours for an email to come in from Jack Phillips, one of our listeners, who ran the numbers. And according to Jack's math, and I'm just going to take his word for it, if you're playing the Verizon earnings call drinking games, you're consuming 28 total drinks. If you are playing the AT&T game, 33 total drinks. So,
life-threatening.
I was going to say, you're getting pretty soused either way, but a little bit more with AT&T. So thank you to Jack for sending that in. Mr. Kretzmann, next week, you and I are not going to be here. We're heading out to San Diego. We've got an event for our Motley Fool One members that we're going to. You're more familiar with San Diego than I am. What's one or two things I should look to do? We're staying in the Gas Lamp District, mm-hmm. the historic Gas Lamp District in San Diego. What am I eating when I go to San Diego?
Boy, well, I'm gluten-free and a vegetarian, so I don't know if you
okay.
want food
You're
advice
the wrong
for me.
Person
yeah,
for me to
don't ask.
Ask
me that. But a place to go is Coronado Island, which is right across the bay from, or right across the San Diego Harbor, and you can actually take a ferry from where we're going to be in the Gas Lamp Quarter right across the Coronado, and you can go to the Hotel Del, which is, you know, a very famous.
That's the iconic hotel from the classic film Some Like It Hot.
That's the Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie, but it's an iconic hotel and just gorgeous. I mean, there's so much to do, but I actually prefer downtown San Diego. Is my favorite part of San Diego, but Coronado Island, man, that's definitely a place to go.
Jack Lemmon, Tony Curtis, and Marilyn Monroe, classic black and white comedy, Some Like It Hot. All right, Coronado Island. Let's see if we can make a trip there.
We'll check it out.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against. So don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's going to do it for this edition of Market Foolery. The show is mixed by Dan Boyd. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.